Report a shot fired at officers trying to stop the vehicle.
We have one officer shot.
We got shots fired. Sounded like an automatic firearm.
Copy, code red, shots fired.
We have an active shooter. We have an active shooter inside the warehouse.
Now it's Shots Fired with your host, TJ Kurgan, Dinah Death Milberg, and the lovely Crystal Powers.
We still need to redo it to Crystal Powers.
No, we don't.
No, that's going to happen. It's going to be changed to Crystal Powers. With one of them little like dashes above it.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah, just to spice it up, fancy it up a bit. So still not TJ. He has survived the hurricane, and from what I understand, completely unscathed. Like, nothing got damaged, nothing got messed up. Maybe a few shingles missing and some outdoor furniture tumbled around. But really, they just had some high winds and a metric ton of rain. And that's about it. Sadly, to the south of them, Fort Myers did not get it so easy.
They got hammered.
Prayers go out to them. They got hammered bad. I don't know if you've been following it.
I saw a couple videos. Rough.
Sharks swimming through people's yards and stuff. Crazy.
Would you be wrestling a shark if that was your yard?
I was snorkeling off the Florida Keys one day when I was a teenager.
One day.
Yeah. Dove down. And I'm swimming, and all of a sudden something hits me, and I turn and look, and it was a tiger shark. Yeah, and then at that moment, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm good, never messing with sharks, ever. It just kind of catches you off guard, and they are stupid fast. Mm. That's the thing that gets you, is they are stupid fast. Weird. A giant aerodynamic fish being faster in the water, who would have thought? So, Crystal, what are we talking about today?
Aside
from making fun of you for being the most basic woman possible and having pumpkin spice in front of me.
I saw that at, where was I at? The Dollar Tree. You know, I figured I'd try it. Anyway.
I thought that was Alex's.
Okay. So, you know how I'm into physical fitness, just a wee bit.
Yes.
I was watching a video on Instagram yesterday of it was released. You might have seen it. It was the NYPD physical fitness test.
No, but I'm curious.
So there was, I haven't committed it to memory, but the first part, they have to, I believe there's six obstacles or tests that needed to be completed in less than 3.5 minutes. And, the only specific, what is so funny?
There's so much I can complete in 3.5 minutes.
I'm going to let you have that. Okay, so the only actual obstacle test that I remember is there was a stair. So it was going up. It was probably, couldn't have been more than 5 steps up. And then there was a platform of like, you know, probably 3 feet wide. And then steps going down.
No.
Yes. And no, they had to.
Seriously?
Oh, wait. No, they had one of the tests was to go up and down 3 times.
Oh, I thought you were about to say up and down once in 3 minutes.
No, so this is just one of the series of 6 tests. But
that still seems kind of easy.
Incredibly easy. I think
what was the hardest thing on the test?
Probably the dummy drag. But even then, there were ropes.
What?
Yeah.
Was there a run?
She was jogging while she was doing it. Yeah. So there were cones set up, and it couldn't have been more than, I mean, it was a triangle shape, probably. We're not talking more than 100 meters.
Oh, so there's no like 2 mile run or anything like
that? No.
And we're talking one of the most dangerous, top dangerous cities in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
that is getting crime hourly, that it keeps getting worse, and that's the physical fitness requirements?
Yeah, I couldn't bring it. There were quite a few comments, as I'm sure you can imagine. So the person being tested was female, the instructor was female, and there was probably a equal dichotomy of comments commenting about the gender, the sex, let's call it what it is. It's not a social construct. She was a woman. and how women.
There's two of them, right? Last time I checked, there's only two. Okay. Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Just had to establish that.
commenting how women should not be in law enforcement because they've had to lower the standards so that more people can be hired, which I don't disagree with. But then also there were just as many people talking about how sad it is that they have to lower the standards and how, you know, some people were pro and some people were for. I'm obviously very against lowering the standards.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of affirmative action.
You can't blame it on women on this one, though. I've seen some male cops who look like they're probably going to fall over dead from getting in and out of their squad car.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that makes you wonder, when they were first hired, they probably didn't have that level of physical fitness.
No, I mean, it's...
I mean, you're hoping.
Some of them make me look small.
Yeah.
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 I mean, it's been a minute.
Well, I mean, you're also like, what, 6'4", 6'5"?
6'4".
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not too bad, but I mean, seen cops that weigh as much as you that are 5'5".
Could have an issue there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's so much to say about that. Like, when you look at a person, you size them up. If you see a person who's supposed to be in a position of authority who looks like they don't take care of themselves physically, and I'm being generous in that description, you're probably going to make some assumptions about, you know, maybe I could get away with this.
Oh, no. How many times have you heard me say that where we've had a cop walk in who is muy largo? And my response is like, yeah, I would totally commit crime in front of that dude and just run because I know I'm fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, 100%. I guarantee there is where there's criminals looking like, yeah, no, I'm good.
I think it presents a really interesting, because, you know, your brain is calculating things all the time, not just like when you're driving, but, you know, when you're talking with people, especially when you're in an area where you're with people who you don't know, you're always sizing, profiling, one might say.
Yeah.
You're always sizing people up and making judgments about them. And man, I don't know. That was just a really state of the union, but just, this is where we're at here.
No, it is though. 'Cause it's funny you say that. Were you in the shop the other day when we were having a discussion with, I think it was somebody who was in, and we were talking about how they're having to drop the physical requirements for different branches of the military and lowering the requirements as well. Like, The Air Force has always been known to have like the strictest standards to get into branch wise.
Really? I thought it was the Marines for some reason.
No, Marines is kind of in the middle. Army's,
I mean,
sorry to say, Army's at the bottom.
Look at both Army's of us sitting it's here. Like, I mean, Marine, Army.
Yeah, but you guys aren't like wimpy looking. Like, I wouldn't fight you.
No, that's because we like burritos. But I mean, like, Air Force always held itself real high standard, at least intellect-wise and, like, background, no tattoo, stuff like that. They're lowering it. Army, you basically have to...
If you have a pulse.
Not have multiple felonies, have a pulse, and try not to drool on yourself during your interview.
And then you qualify to be a 31 Echo Corrections.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, Army has dropped it. Army, I think, now is not even requiring GEDs.
That's right.
You can have a multitude of criminal infractions that they're going to let it pass. That's what it was. Guy was in the Air Force, and he was talking about the Air Force wanting to even look into allowing marijuana waivers.
That's
right. That if you pop, they'll sign a waiver, and you just have to be able to remain clean for 3 months. And if you can test clean in 3 months, then you're good to go.
And this is not a CBD issue at all.
No.
Right?
No. Yeah. No, this is like legitimately like you smoked out the night before. So they're having that many problems. And we'll talk more about this when we get back, as well as some of the physical requirements for different branches being transferred, how that goes in their daily life for your own defense. Shoot us a call, 636-224-6300. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. So, talking about physical fitness, and Crystal started out with something she watched about NYPD's physical requirements to pass and it being kind of pathetic. So, for the Army, I have no idea how you guys did yours. What is your physical fitness standards for the Army?
The old style, they changed a lot of it now. Well, I'm not sure on the new ones, but The old style was you had, depending on your age, you had to do sit-ups in 2 minutes, push-ups in 2 minutes, and a two-mile run. And I'll say my age bracket was like 2 miles and under 15:30. Maybe it was 16-something now that I'm a little bit older there. But I want to say sit-ups was like 50 sit-ups and push-ups was like 45 push-ups was the bare minimum you had to do.
That's not too bad.
And that was for male. Female standard was significantly less.
And see, that's one I always had a beef with was for the Marine Corps. Men had to do pull-ups. And it kind of wasn't really a bare minimum. It was a accrued points bare minimum for passing. So, like, you could suck at the run, but if you did 100% on sit-ups and pull-ups, you could still come out with a decent score.
Okay.
Pull-ups and the run was really where it mattered. You're not getting that much for sit-ups. 300 was like a max score. So 300 is, it's been a minute. I believe 300 for the Marine Corps was 100 sit-ups in 2 minutes, which honestly is a given. Everybody's getting that. 20 pull-ups. There's not a time limit. You just can't touch the ground. You can't come off the bar.
Yeah, once you let go, you're terminated.
Yeah, so as long as you're up there, you can take as long as you want. But 20 pull-ups is the max. I guess that comes out to be 50 a pull-up. And I'm sorry, 5 a pull-up. And then I want to say it was 18:30 was a perfect score for a run. And then I don't remember
the breakdown. How long was your run?
3 miles. So, okay. Well, 3 miles is generally, Marine Corps order stated that the PFT course can be no shorter than 2.8 miles, no longer than 3.2.
Okay.
So, like, there's a few PFT courses on Pendleton that were, like, 2.8 or right at 3 miles. The one on my base, 29 Palms, of course, right next to the raw sewage lake, was a nice,
get
wonderful.
Get ready for Afghanistan, smelling that whole country.
Seriously. 3.2 miles for hours. So get that extra little quarter mile, almost quarter mile in there to screw your time up. But I think the best score I ever had wasn't even an official PFT. It was just doing one for PT. I was able to do, of course, 100 sit-ups, 14 pull-ups, and I got my three-mile time down to like 19:52, I want to say, or something like that. Nice. Typically, I had to really work for that one. Typically, I averaged like 21, 22 minutes for the 3 mile. Running was never my strong suit. I mean, that's still a solid 3 mile time. That's, you know, a little over 7 minute-ish mile.
Yeah.
But I mean, pretty high standards. And then right as I was getting out is when they incorporated the CFT, the combat fitness test. I have no idea on the scoring of that. I never did that.
That's what they changed with the Army. And I'm like, dude, yeah.
It made more sense. Like, to me, the PFT was stupid. It's like, I'm never going to use any of this, like, in a combat scenario. This doesn't gauge anything. The CFT actually did. CFT was, like, a buddy drag, yeah. An agility test,
or
running with
like
ammo
or
cans.
Or something.
Yeah, throw, like, stuff that actually makes sense that
and,
you would use.
And they didn't have waivers for that unless you were, like, actually combat injured prior. So then you got waived because that's obviously not your fault. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you got some guys who just ate too many cheeseburgers that, like, okay, well, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you'd blow your foot off or something, like.
One of the dumbest things, and I'll just leave it at that because I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole with this, but, like, the Marine Corps had it where if you were a certain size, you'd still get taped. So I had buddies who were just monsters.
Oh, yeah.
Who would get first-class PFTs every time, and they'd still have to get taped. And it's like, this is just
soldiers,
a waste of time.
I mean,
time.
He looked like a straight pit bull, dude. Like, I mean, like, just solid. And, they were like, oh, you're flagged, you're overweight. He's like, dude, he's like, there's nothing on me that's, like, took him to the hospital and had him, like, actually do the, whatever they, what is it, the dunk test they do at the hospital?
Yeah.
And he was like, 2%. I'm like, yeah, come on.
Nope, overweight, got to go to remedial. That would be what happened, too. And then the military wonders why it has attrition problems. And I don't think you were that day. We had Jake. But we talked about coming up with, like, our own official, like, civilian, if you consider yourself, quote-unquote, tactical kind of fitness level. Like, if you have a plate carrier, you should be able to do, I think we came up with a minimum of 4 dead hang pull-ups in your carrier, in your kit. Be able to sprint 100 yards and not die in your kit. Be able to carry a 45-pound ammo can in each hand for 50 meters in your kit. Be able to climb a 5 or 6 foot wall in your kit. Maybe climb a rope in your kit. Like, these are basic things I think you should be able to do. Like, if you have a setup, if you have a plate carrier, if you have armor and you're actually training to use it, here is the baseline of things you should be able to do in that. If you can't do those things, you probably don't need to worry so much about your gear and maybe focus more on your physical fitness abilities.
Or maybe you need more gear.
Yeah. Yeah. Or rethink your gear. You know, if you're struggling and you're in good shape and you're struggling, but your plate carrier weighs 55 pounds, then are you really combat effective? And that's what we could really focus on the rest of the radio show is talking about. Are you, you know, I've become hooked on the Sean Ryan podcast lately. And when some of these dudes are getting really jacked up, what finally allows them to quit fighting it and just medically retire is the doc asks them, are you an asset or a liability at this point? And that's what everybody should be asking themselves on a daily basis is, with your training, with your knowledge, with your physical fitness, for your own self-defense, for your own protection, for others, for your family, especially if you're a cop and you're listening to this, you should definitely be asking yourself this. If a gunfight was to happen, if the proverbial shiznit was about to hit the fan, at your current standing, are you an asset or are you a liability? And then break down and look at those things of what that qualifies for. Your physical fitness, your mental health, your shooting abilities, your skills, your gear itself. You could be a PT stud and be sharp as a knife, but man, I was almost going to call a place out. If you had a stranger than fiction, possibly outer space built rifle, you know where I'm going with that. That might blow up after 5 rounds.
Hours.
And a liability. Yeah.
Allens.
Yeah. We'll be right back after this break. Shoot us call 636-224-6300. So on the break, I'm scrolling through my phone just to see if there's any news pop up or anything worth discussing. And there's actually a meme worth discussing. So it says everyone's binging on the Dahmer and Ted Bundy series on Netflix and still walk around with no gun. That's no why. That's solid. Yeah, there is people like that still walking around out there. And man, TJ knows all the statistics, like how many times in your life you walked by a serial killer or mass murderer.
I think he actually last week he did the breakdown.
Yeah, he's mentioned a few times.
Some like, surprisingly large percentage. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like most definitely this many times in your life you've walked by a murderer, you've walked by a serial killer. Just he's got like a few different statistics on that and the probabilities of it. And like, yeah, and then there's still people walking around with no way to defending themselves.
This is strong incentive for being kind to everyone you meet.
I mean, that too, but I think, was it with Dahmer? Being nice was the problem.
No. Nice is different than kind.
True. Okay.
My husband has just like nailed this into my head that being nice and being kind,
that's
people get taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Kind people are
polite.
Yes.
Yeah. Polite.
With boundaries.
Makes sense. So talking about physical fitness and preparedness, and you know, we kind of went over the embarrassingly low standards of what the NYPD put out, and then Justin, you filled in what the Army standards are. I talked about what the Marine Corps standards are. And then we kind of talked about a notional, if you consider yourself tactical, some sort of fitness level you should be at. And, I mean, I think it makes sense. And that's what we can talk about the rest of the show is, you know, walking around on a daily basis and always striving to make sure you are a asset and not a liability.
Mm-hmm.
Having my busted up hand at the moment, makes me a slight liability instead of an asset. So sometimes there's things you can't always predict or stop. But if I take this time where, you know, I can't lift, can't go to the gym or anything, and just binge eat everything in sight and gain 20 or 30 pounds.
What, can you go running? Not that you would.
Shortly.
I know everybody hates
like,
running.
Even doing leg stuff, I've still got a pretty miserable pulled muscle in my leg. And then one just being on my feet too long because right on that ball of my ankle is where that giant slice is. If I'm on it too much, it starts tearing back open.
Oh, cool.
It's slightly uncomfortable. So that's what I'm really waiting for is actually, I think, in order to not get fat, I talked to the doctor. Once the fracture heals, I can start lifting again, but just nowhere near as heavy as before, go like 60, 75%. So I'll start lifting again, and then I actually am going to be on the hunt for a ruck, and I think I'm going to, probably somewhere between 40 and 50 pounds in a rucksack and start going, you know, 30, 45 minutes every evening, go ruck through my subdivision. I have no idea why I wanted it. Because I'd rather ruck. Like, I don't mind that. I'll do that over running, like, any day.
Definitely. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I despise running. Like, I hate
running. I think I'm running. One of the few people who really enjoys running. I just, it makes me happy.
You're a weirdo.
I know.
I want you to know that. You are a very weird person for that.
And proud.
I don't know what it is. I hate everything about running.
You know,
I always have.
I don't think a lot of people do enjoy running. I like it because it's difficult.
I don't know many people. I mean, my cousin that lives in Florida, actually, where all this stuff's going on right now, like she runs marathons and stuff. And I'm like, seriously, for fun?
My buddy Josh, rest in peace. He was in machine guns with me and then went over to Scout Snipers. And this dude was a freak. We harassed him endlessly for this. Like, here's how much of another level he was. My second deployment, we landed in Al-Asad, and man, we were off the plane maybe a few hours, and he's changing over to PT gear. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
That was a grunt of disapproval if I've ever heard one.
I thought he was going to go rack out or something, like go take a nap, so I paid no attention.
That's why I would change into it, but I mean.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, 3 hours later, Josh comes in through the tent, like panting, completely drenched in sweat with a number on his back. I'm like, what'd you just go do? And he goes, oh, as soon as we landed, as we were going past the main strip, I saw a flyer for they were running a base marathon. So I went ahead, signed up real quick, and I went and, you know, did a marathon, stretched my legs after that flight. We just landed. Just landed a few hours ago, and you've already ran a marathon. Yeah, you know, you just stretch the legs out. I'm like, you're weird, dude. Why would you do that? We're day one Iraq, and you're already like, this is already gonna suck enough, and you're running a marathon. He goes, how's that weird? How is that not weird? But I mean, that's who he was. That dude ran everywhere. Like the whole thing with. They do it in Scout Snipers. They do the same thing in Recon when you first get there. You run everywhere. You're not allowed to walk anywhere. You have to run everywhere. For him, he's like, oh, great, cool. I get to run. Okay, weirdo.
And that's like air assault school. Like the moment you cross over into the obstacle course, you are running everything. And it's like, dude,
Really? Yeah, no desire to do that. Like I was dead set on going Recon when I first enlisted. And then I saw the pool requirements, and I like barely survived boot camp pool. I'm like, yeah, now this ain't happening.
Like a floating cooler with me or no?
No,
because then I'm
no out. Like utilities, armor, and a helmet. Go tread water for 30 minutes.
I'm good.
Stuff like that. I'm like, that's not even possible. How are people doing this?
that holds zero appeal for me.
Yeah,
the swimming. No. I'm a proficient swimmer. Pack stuff onto me.
The indoc for Recon is brutal. And like at one point I was probably solid enough fitness wise before all the injuries started to take place that I probably could have done everything but the pool part. And I really learned that. We had a machine gun section leader take over our section, and he came to us from 1st Force Recon Battalion. So we decided when we were at Pendleton for division schools, he was going to show us what pool PT was like recon style. And he had us like crying and puking in a very short amount of time in the pool.
I'm racking my brain trying to remember swim qual for Marines.
This was a whole other level past swim qual. Like, throw a rubber rifle to the bottom of the 10-foot section, and you've got to come up and, like, hold it over your head for a minute straight with both hands while you tread water.
That sounds like a fun challenge that I would need to train for first.
Now it's like, okay, all you do is you just go down, hold your breath for as long as possible, then just shoot yourself back up, take a big gasp of air, and go back down. And you just do that for the whole time. But, like, you try to swim, tread, do anything, and you start taking water in, and you start panicking. Most of the pool stuff is unrealistic, but they're just trying to make sure you're not going to panic.
Right.
I panic as soon as I get in. I look at water, and I start to panic. Like, I hate swimming. I don't enjoy water. And, like, recon will destroy you with that, too. My second deployment, one of our new guys was a recon BRC dropout. He wasn't a dropout. He broke his leg with 3 weeks left.
Oh,
kept going on it. And they finally were like, dude, no, it's broke, and made him drop. Because that's how miserable it is people would rather keep going on broken legs and just try to make it than ever have to recycle and go through it again.
See, these are the standards I'm talking about.
Yeah. So he got dropped, ended up going to the fleet, came to us, and I'm like, so how bad is it? Because I actually had a few guys from boot camp and SOI and stuff who ended up going to MARSOC and recon and stuff like that, but I never got to talk to him after the fact. And he's like, dude, it was so bad that about the time I got hurt, but right before I left, I had to drink water through a straw. Like, he'd panic when he'd get in showers.
Oh.
Like, they mess you up that bad for water. Like, they just harass you nonstop. And every time you hit the pool, you wonder if you're going to die. They actually have a limit of, like, it's either two or three times you can black out in the water before they cut you and drop you. They'll let you go till the point where you black out.
Wow.
Like, that's one thing. There is a very distinct, and I'm going to step on a lot of toes saying this, law enforcement loves to try to compare themselves to the military on a regular basis. There is no comparison. Like, maybe SWAT.
I'm in agreement with you.
Maybe SWAT. How many times have you heard that? I know I'm going to piss a lot of people off on this one, but I'm just going to say, It ain't the same.
I mean, I know some guys that are on SWAT teams that are like, I mean, they're animals. Like, their standards are most definitely insane.
And there are some officers individually who,
but I mean, just as
mostly former military.
Yeah, right. But I mean,
But I mean, especially,
I haven't been in a gym in a few years, and I would still outdo some of those standards that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Easily. And, then you get to the SF guys and stuff like recon and snipers. That's a whole other level of dedication. Like, hearing people have pneumonia and keep fighting through it, people on broken legs keep fighting through it. Talking about the Sean Ryan podcast, I was listening to the one about DJ Shipley. His dad's a real famous SEAL. He was the youngest SEAL ever to go to BUDS, or youngest candidate to ever go to BUDS at 17.
That's nuts.
He did his first deployment as a Navy SEAL at 19. Like, deploying at 19, not that crazy. Mm-hmm. Deploying as a Navy SEAL at 19 is crazy. And then later on in his career, he made it to a dev group, development group, which is like the counterterrorism special of the special SEAL teams. Mm-hmm. And using green team and fractured his femur, and, like, broke off the socket itself and kept going. He did surgery over a weekend.
Comprehend that.
Because at that level, that is literally the highest tier humanly possible. There is no higher tier than green team or than dev crew. And he wanted it so bad, he just kept going. They did the surgery and knocked out. And he even graduated and deployed with a physical therapist.
Wow.
Who deployed with him just to finish it out. Got a nasty infection, all kinds of nasty stuff. But that's how bad people want it. Like, there's pushing yourself. Like, you've got the last 100 yards left in a run, and you really, really dig it and run. And then there's pushing yourself like that, where you're willing to literally kill yourself or do major damage to accomplish the mission. Like, that separates things. And that to me, doesn't really come down to physical fitness so much as it does mindset.
Oh, absolutely.
And heart.
Yeah, and that's one thing we talk about that I think gets left out constantly when it comes to this stuff, is it's always the gear, the gun, mm-hmm. even training. But you can have all of that, but if you don't have the right mindset, none of that does you any good whatsoever.
Right.
You can be jacked, in shape, you know, para-athlete, and have the greatest Gucci gear possible and train with spec ops on a regular basis, so you're able to take down shoe houses and everything. But if you don't have the mindset and the heart for it, none of that matters whatsoever.
And I think the exact same concept translates very well as it relates to law enforcement also.
Yeah, and I mean, Uvalde.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Zero heart there. I mean,
there's guys using hand sanitizer instead of going after a shooter.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, again, listen.
Kids are dying, and you're worried about germs on your hands.
Part of the DJ Shipley podcast, when he was talking about his first deployment to Iraq, one of the greatest acts of heroism he said he's ever seen is one of the guys got shot, and they were pinned down by heavy machine gun fire, and the guy ignored that. One of the SEALs went over to drag the buddy away, got hit, went down, got back up, started dragging him again, got hit again, went down, stayed down for a little bit, got back up, grabbed him again, started dragging him again, got shot again in the face.
Oh my.
And kept trying to drag his fallen teammate. That's what we're talking about. Do you have that in you? That is the type of mindset and the heart you have to have.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be right back to finish this episode right after this last break. All right, we are back for the last and final segment. Dow is just plunging. That's depressing.
Nah.
Not really, because I don't have stock. So, what else should we wrap up with? The way I ended the last segment would have been great to end the show, period, except it's not over. We got a few minutes left. If anybody wants to shoot us a call, 636-224-6300. And in no way was that slamming law enforcement. It's just challenging you guys. Things are up against you these days. The odds are not in your favor. A lot of the really good officers said, screw this, it's not worth it anymore, and quit. And have kind of bailed, and you guys are understaffed right now, not exactly favored by most.
Underpaid, too.
Yeah, underpaid, and as we can see daily, crime is significantly on the rise. Now is not to be now is not the time to be a fat slob who can't shoot. If you're law enforcement.
Thank God I can shoot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Touché, sir. Wow. And again, this isn't slamming you. This is challenging you. Get off your ass and train. Ask yourself. And this isn't just for law enforcement. This is for anybody. I don't care if you work at McDonald's. You can use this to kind of gauge yourself. Are you an asset or a liability to your team? And whatever you're doing, you can use that in your marriage. Are you an asset or a liability? Man.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Are you going to be a counselor now?
No, I just hurt myself on that one.
I mean, I'll go to counseling, like, with you if you're the counselor.
That's going to be hella awkward, man. So, I mean, ask yourself that in everything. Are you an asset or are you a liability? Because I've been watching all this stuff, and it's reminding me a lot of the good parts of the military. There is so much bad and stupid. I'm sure you were around it enough to see like some of the really toxic, horrible parts of it.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of good, and some of the What's weird is, like, this always confused me. For something that is so all about strengthening your mind and pushing through stuff and having heart, when it comes to the actual mental health side of dealing with what you see, they don't care about you. They want you to accomplish the mission. But imagine how much more effective our military would be if accomplishing the mission also, like, continued on after you came home on how to keep your mental health well-being so you can continue the fight and continue to deploy and continue to see horrible things and deal with it properly. We would have a 10-time – we would have won in Afghanistan. Say that.
Well, the only reason we lost is because we pulled out altogether.
Dude, one of the most haunting things I ever heard was a Taliban fighter say that they knew they had victory because – no, it was ISIS. I'm sorry. This – when ISIS came out – remember when ISIS was doing all the propaganda videos? Mm-hmm. One of the most haunting things I ever heard was ISIS saying, we have already declared victory because we've already won in your minds because thousands of your troops daily – kill themselves from the memories and nightmares that we've put in their heads. That was.
Can we go back over there and settle the score?
I'm down. I'm always down for that. But, like, it's a gut check. Like, it's never bad to look back and reflect on that, and it's true. And that's a harsh reality. And I'll give it that. Those guys sucked at fighting.
I'm down to go over there and the left to right that we were talking about earlier and just.
Yeah, we were having a discussion earlier on that. But, like, that's one thing you have to look at is, again, even with that, are you an asset or a liability? Luckily, ISIS isn't really a thing anymore, so that didn't really work out for them, considering they're obliterated and typically spread throughout the Middle East, not in the way they wanted. But bring stuff up, and just that's something you have to be able to encompass everything mentally, physically, and training wise. Make sure you're solid on all fronts, not just one or two.
Yeah, I think it can't be stated enough the importance of finding a constructive method of coping, because we all can think of, you know.
Yeah, drinking a fifth a day is not.
No.
I mean, been there, done that.
It was fun for a little bit. Very, very little
very,
bit.
Very little bit.
Yeah.
So there's a book that I would recommend to anybody if what Alex is talking about resonates with you. It's called The Body Keeps Score. Have you heard of that book?
Mm-mm.
It's really fascinating. It talks about the different methods people use to deal with stress, and if they don't deal with stress, what happens to their body. And this is the life work of a psychologist who... He looked at Vietnam vets. He looked at people who experienced trauma from car crashes, domestic violence, and he compiles all this data in a really interesting way. And he shows the ways that people, he follows a few subjects over the course of several years, and he shows the methods that they used to overcome their trauma or if they refused to, you know.
And you can't, because literally, again, talking about the podcast, the one I listened to on Cody Alford, he had to turn around and make sure he finally addressed his issues because he literally got to the point where the traumas combined with the TBIs, mm-hmm. combined with just the levels of stress and not taking care of his body, mm-hmm. Literally his body started to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he couldn't hardly make it through a day. He was randomly falling asleep, mm-hmm. And couldn't stop it. He was always on edge. He was lashing out nonstop. How familiar does this sound too? Driving somewhere,
talking about me right now.
Driving somewhere and not remembering driving there or how you got there or remembering most of your drive. I've done that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how many times this legitimately scared me where I pull in somewhere. I'm like, how did I get here?
Because you just checked out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or like,
I mean, that really strikes close to home right there. Cause I mean, that's
yeah. Dude, I won't lie. I've pulled in places that I had no idea why I was there. And I've sat there in the parking lot like, why am I here again? No clue, and turn around and left. So it's seeing this stuff and then recognizing it. And okay, I do still have some things to work on. But
well, everybody does.
You definitely have to address this stuff and make sure you're right. Because, again, circling fullback and connecting the dots, that can make you a liability, definitely not an asset. Mm-hmm. So challenge yourself with that daily. Are you a liability currently or an asset? Well, what's today's Thursday. Okay, yeah, we'll be back tomorrow for one last time. And it looks like I'll be filling in 1 to 3 more days as TJ is going to be staying down in Florida, actually helping clean up with the locals down there. So prayers for him and his guys, and they stay safe down there, and he'll be back sometime next week. Take it easy, guys.